Well, praise the Lord. Amen. That is something that we are looking forward to. You never know. Of course, tonight we're going to be having communion, having the Lord's Supper, and just thinking about that. This could be the very last one before we are raptured up into the air to ever be with Him. And we know things might be in works right now in heaven for that very thing. And so praise the Lord for the message and song. I think it prepares us for the message that we're going to be looking at and preaching tonight from the Word of God. And so Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. We will pick back up in our study in the book of Revelation next Sunday night. But this is the first of this year that we will have communion. And it's good to fully understand why we have communion, what it is, and why the Lord established it as He did before He would go to the cross of Calvary. And so tonight, that's what we're looking at. We'll be focused on that. And that's why I apologize to those who are used to sitting in the balcony. We closed down the balcony to get everybody on the ground floor here. So it'll be easier to be able to have communion a little bit later. But that will be open back up next Sunday night. Luke chapter 22, if you'll stand with me, we're going to read starting in verse 7, and we'll read down to verse 20. Luke chapter 22 and verse 7. The Bible says, "Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And He sent Peter and John, saying, 'Go and prepare us the Passover, that we may eat.' And they said unto Him, 'Where wilt thou that we prepare?' And He said unto them, 'Behold, when ye are entered into the city, there shall be a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in, and ye shall say unto the good man of the house, The master saith unto thee, Where is the guest chamber, where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he shall show you a large upper room furnished. There make ready.' And they went and found as He had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the hour was come, He sat down, and the 12 apostles with Him. And He said unto them, 'With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God.' And He took the cup and gave thanks and said, 'Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come.' And He took the bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them and saying, 'This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me.' Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is a new testament in my blood, which is shed for you.'" And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we do bow before You, we love You. Thank You, Lord God, for loving us. And we thank You for this, just another opportunity to assemble ourselves together. And especially tonight, Father, as we are assembled here together in Your name and looking into this idea of communion, and where it came from and why it was given to the church. And I pray tonight, God, that You would give each one here an ear to hear exactly what You have for them, to give us full understanding of what we're about to partake of this evening. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. As we look into the Gospels, the first four books of the New Testament, we find here the life of Christ revealed in the first four books of the New Testament. And we find in the Gospels, we find Jesus preparing and establishing communion for the church. Now, He established His church while He was here. And as He established the church, He gives instructions for the church. And so what He was doing here was establishing this Lord's Supper, this Lord's table or communion, meaning the same thing, that would be for the church throughout the church age. And it was the fulfillment of the Old Testament Passover. Now, we won't take the time tonight. Many of you here tonight understand about the Passover. Look back into Exodus in chapter 12. And as God was delivering the nation of Israel out of Egyptian bondage, and the last Passover, the death angel, and there had to be the blood over the doorposts of the house in order for God to pass over that house and that firstborn not die. And so it was blood that symbolized the presence of God there that would deliver them from this death angel. Okay, and so we find that they established the Passover, and the Passover was to be observed and remembered by Israel until forever, the Bible reveals, forever. Now, of course, as we understand this, we know that it was in preparation for the fulfillment of the Passover. The Old Testament was a school teacher to bring us to the place where God wants us to be concerning understanding the mysteries of the Old Testament. One of the greatest mysteries was the New Testament church, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But it was a schoolmaster, it was to prepare us for this church age that Jesus would come and establish. And so now he is here, and before he goes to the cross of Calvary, it is Passover time, and he brings the disciples together to establish this New Testament communion or Lord's Supper. As we see Jesus establishing this, I think there's no doubt that as he talked about the blood in verse 20, he says, likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. You're familiar with the blood of the Old Testament. You're familiar with the need for the sacrificing and the sacrificing of animals and the need for the blood to be shed in the Old Testament. He said, now it's been fulfilled. And he would be the sacrificial lamb. He himself would go to the cross of Calvary and pay a sin debt that we all owed and could not pay. And so in understanding the blood that would be shed on Calvary's cross, he said, this blood right now, my blood, is for this New Testament. And so he's establishing the idea of communion and to remember not only the body, the life that was lived, but to remember the blood, because the blood is very symbolic, always has been. Old Testament all the way through, now New Testament, understanding fully, full assurance now, full understanding of why they had to have the shed blood in the Old Testament, and now we see it in the life of Jesus Christ, the shedding of blood on the cross of Calvary. But the primary purpose for all of this and understanding this, and we'll break it down a little bit more as we get into 1 Corinthians chapter 11, but the primary purpose was a way to remember. A way to remember and not forget. There's no doubt the human mind will only remember the things that we continue to use on a regular basis. And if you fail to remind yourself of certain things, and if you don't exercise it, we have a tendency to forget it. You know, that thought, out of sight, out of mind. There is a lot of truth to that. There really is. And you have to remind yourself and remember different things. And the things that you use, we remember. I know I learned to tie my shoes in kindergarten. I've never forgot that. Why haven't you never forgot that? Because I use it every day. Okay, and so I'm reminding myself about that. Since I learned that in kindergarten, it's something that I apply, and I apply it every day, and I learned that. It's something that, so you never forget that. But other things that I was supposed to learn in school, and I crammed in to be able to pass my test, I would hate to see what I would score on the test today. Amen. Things that I haven't used. Now, the things that I've used, I would do well with. Because I remember that, I was taught that, and then I put it to use, and as I put it to use, I'm remembering that. But other things that I was taught that I do not put to use, and I don't consciously make a purpose to remember that, such as anniversaries and birthdays. If I don't consciously put aside and mark it on the calendar, remember that, we all have a tendency to forget. As you get older, it becomes something that we can take advantage of. Amen? Selective memory. And But we find here, as we study the scriptures, we understand he said, this do in remembrance. Remember my body. I mean, you take the bread to remember the sacrifice of my body in remembrance. You take the fruit of the vine to remember the blood. So we find that the primary purpose for communion is a way to remember. It was a way for Israel to never forget what God did for them in delivering them from Egyptian bondage and how he delivered them from Egyptian bondage. The precious blood that was shed. And all through the Old Testament, it was a way to remember and they were never to forget. And so it was something that was established for them to do. Jesus came as being the Lord of the Sabbath, and he came to fulfill the Old Testament. And he's fulfilling this Passover. And he's bringing this to a place of the Lord's Supper, communion. A way to remember. As a way to remember his sacrifice. We should never lose sight of what brought us the gift of everlasting eternal life. What it took to enable us to be reconciled to an almighty God, to be able to come into the presence of God, into the holies of holies, the presence of God, to come into the Shekinah, to be a part of the Shekinah glory, the very glory of God, to come into his presence and make our requests be made known unto God. What brought that to us, what allows us the privilege of prayer, communion with God, is a sacrifice of Christ. If it were not for the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, we would not have our sins forgiven us. We would not have a gift of everlasting life. We would not have a heavenly Father to pray to. We would not have an indwelling of the Holy Spirit that will never leave you nor forsake you, that's with you 24/7, that watches over you, that helps guide you, who helps bring things back to your remembrance, and on and on and on. We would not have that if it were not for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We can't forget that. We must never forget that. On a daily basis, we need to be reminded of that. We need to be thinking about that every time we go to the Lord in prayer. And we realize, Lord, thank you for my salvation. Thank you for the privilege it is to be able to come to you whenever I have a need or desire to come to you in prayer. A way to remember, not forget. His sacrifice. It's a way to remember, not forget, not only his sacrifice, but his example. The life of the Lord Jesus Christ. The body, it does represent what he laid down, but his entire life was lived in that body on this earth. And there was a purpose for his entire life. That's Christianity today. It's Christianity, maybe not today, but it's Christianity. It's Christ-likeness. It's why believers are supposed to be identified with Christ. That's where the name Christian come from. The church there in Antioch, those around them, and said, you are acting a lot like, and you sound like, and you live like Christ. And so they were called Christians first in Antioch, in the church of Antioch. Why? Because they remembered the life of Christ, and they wanted to walk in his footsteps and be Christ-like in all that they did. Would God that that would truly be Christianity today? For us that are truly saved and want to live for the Lord, it should be our testimony, being Christ-like. Yeah. The way to remember and not forget his example of Christian living. That's why in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we'll not turn there. We'll look there in just a few minutes here, because Paul now is addressing the church at Corinth, and God has recorded it for us so that all of us might understand the breakdown of the communion and how that it was given to Paul to give to the church. And one of the things that everyone was to do before they would partake of communion is to examine themselves. Examine your life. Examine what your love for God and your walk, your Christian walk, if it is Christian or not. Because if it's not, and you're not living as you ought to be living, and you're not serving as you ought to be serving, and your mind is not where it should be, then you're not worthy to partake of communion, to identify with Christ. It gives us a warning, and we'll see in just a little bit. So it's an opportunity for us, a way to remember and not to forget not only his sacrifice, but a way to remember and not forget his example, the message that he gave to us concerning how we are to live our lives, and we are to examine ourselves to make sure that we are in living in accordance with the precious word of God, that we are the best we can living and following after Jesus in his footsteps. It's an opportunity to examine yourself. And ask God, God, if there's any wickedness in me. If there's anything in me that's not pleasing, anything in me or in my life that is not pleasing to you, I desire to please you. I desire to identify with you. And God, reveal it to me so that I might confess and forsake it, so that I might be worthy, that I might be able to partake of the communion and truly draw closer to you. And that's what it'll do. The communion will allow individuals, every individual, to draw closer to God if you do it in the right way and understanding and examining yourself. You're drawing closer to the Lord. And if every individual of this church draws closer to God, can I tell you that will automatically draw us closer as a church? What separates and divides a church is sin. What separates and divides this church is Satan working in the lives of individuals. If God wants us to love one another, and if God wants us to live together and admonish one another and encourage one another, if we're living for Him and looking to Him and serving Him, and if we are as God would have us to be, then we will be united as a church family. And one of the reasons that we have communion is to draw the church together underneath the love that we have for Christ and the understanding of what Jesus has done for us, and to know this is His church. Way to remember and not to forget his sacrifice. A way to remember and not to forget the example of Christian living. A way to remember and not to forget his promise to return. What a great message and song. Amen. I mean, at that point I'm thinking, oh, even so come, Lord Jesus, I'm ready. That's right. You get into that song and you're ready. I mean, you can just see the angels getting excited about Lord calling his church home. Amen. And the rapture taking place. See, when you take communion, we understand why it was given as a way to remember and not to forget his promise to return. John chapter 14. In case we forget, this is a great, powerful passage that he gave to his disciples right before he would go to the cross. In John chapter 14, he knew that they were sorrowing because he told them he had to go away. He told them that he was going to die on the cross. And they didn't want him to go, and they were very sorrowful. And he addresses them before he would go to the cross, and he says this in John chapter 14, verse 1. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, for he was God in the flesh. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." I've told you everything else. Wasn't true. I would have told you it wasn't true, but it is true. "If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." I've got to go to the cross of Calvary to pay your sin debt. "And then I'm going to go on to glory and ever live to make intercession for you. And while I'm there in glory, ever living to make intercession for you, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Whether it be at the end of your life, God has a place prepared for every one of us when our life ends on this earth. Or whether it comes to the rapture of the church and all of us will go at the same time. All of those who remain here. Every born-again believer that's still here, when the rapture takes place, we'll all go at the same time. You know, that's always, I don't know about you, but that's been my desire concerning my wife. I believe it's her desire concerning me. I don't want to have to think about her going before me or me going before her. I would envy her, and she would envy me. Amen? We just decided we're just going to go together. Now, of course, that's what God has the final say-so in that. But what a blessing that that takes place. Just soon, I believe in my lifetime, I'm going to experience the rapture of the church. Look around. I guarantee you it is closer than it's ever been before. And the signs are more evident now than ever before. If you've not been with us on Sunday nights, we're going through in the book of Revelation. It reveals what's going to take place concerning the one world religion and how everything is pointing to that. And they're going to call it a religion, but it will not be anything to do with Christianity. It's Antichrist. Everything that the Bible stands for, everything that Christians stand for today, it will be anti that. And look at religion today. It is anti. It's turning against the moral principles of the Word of God. It's turning against what Jesus established and what Jesus taught. And the world now is accepting all of this ungodly behavior and forcing this down our children's throat and saying, this is an alternate lifestyle. And they're actually exalting this as a better lifestyle than what God says in a marriage between a man and a woman. They're pushing their agenda, and it's getting young people to want to be something other than what's natural, because they see everybody promoting all of this. Can I tell you that that is straight from the pits of hell? That is not of Christ. That is not of the Bible. And it is exactly what the Bible says is going to happen toward the end time. And as we get into this next chapter in the book of Revelation, you'll see there's no restraints on morality. There's no restraints on the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. And can you imagine what society would be like if it wasn't for the voice of Christ? The voice of Christianity saying, thus saith the Lord. I'm just standing where the Bible stood. I'm standing where your fathers stood and your grandfathers and your forefathers. I'm standing where we stood when God blessed America and established America. Amen. Nothing's changed concerning God and His Word and His will for mankind. A way to remember and not forget His promise to return. I go to prepare a place for you, and will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Praise the Lord for that. A way to remember, not to forget. If we do not bring things to our minds, not only will we naturally forget, but Satan will blind us to those truths. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Second Corinthians chapter 4. Most Americans in a Christian nation would not be able to give you a biblical definition of communion. Why? Because they've not been taught. They're not in church. They're not under the teaching of the Bible. They'll give you a religion's concept of it, but they won't be able to give you a biblical concept, a biblical explanation of what Jesus established as communion. Why? Because if you look here, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world, that's the devil himself, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. If Satan can blind people to the truth of the gospel, he can blind people to anything that they allow him to blind them to. And if we're not being taught the truth, and if we're not under the using the truth, amen, if you're not tying your shoes, you'll eventually Forget how to tie your shoes. So Jesus established this before he would go to the cross, and it was continued in the early church. It was continued, and then he gave instructions for Paul as he revealed to Paul the message that he would send to the church at Corinth that would be in the preserved Word of God for us to understand the communion for the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Let's go there. I'm just about done here. We'll get right into 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul now, it's Scripture. It has been, God spoke through Paul. It was inspired Paul to send the letter. This letter is Scripture, inspired by God, God breathed, God preserved, placed in the Bible for us, for the church. And he reveals to the church exactly what God revealed to him concerning communion. And that would continue throughout this church age. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we're going to skip, go down to verse 23. Read down to verse 30. The Bible says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. And this do in remembrance of me." There it is again, in remembrance of me. We're going to have communion tonight. The most important thing is to remember Christ in communion. To remember the sacrifice, remember the life, remember his promises. "Now, at the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as often as you drink in remembrance of me." We remember the sacrifice, the blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And now it says, as often as you do it. Nowhere in the Bible does it say how often that we do that. So it's left up to individual churches. This is given to the individual church. This is God's will. God says, "It's my will that you have communion, and this is what communion is, and this is why you're to have it. This is what it represents." How often you do it, that's going to leave that up to your church. I know some churches that might have that have communion once a year, and they want to reenact the best way they can the very time that, that Jesus gave it to his disciples, and they want to do everything they can to make it just like that. And praise the Lord for that. There's a lot to be said about that. But it's only one time a year. There's a lot that can happen one in a year. And if it's only once a year, then there could be the chance that we might forget a little bit of what we should not forget. There could be that we forget and not remember all that we should be remembering, and understanding that we're connected through Christ as a church and through our relationship with each other and whatever it might be. And so there's others that have it every month. As a Lighthouse Baptist Church, in the very early beginnings of the church, we prayed, and as we prayed about it and we studied the Scriptures, we decided that it would be good for us to at least have it on a quarterly basis. We don't spread it apart so long that there's a chance to forget what we should not forget. So we do not have that opportunity. We do not give Satan that opportunity to blind us to something that we don't want to be blinded to. But yet we don't have it so often that it becomes common. Communion should never become something that is just common to the children of God, to the church. It's so much far beyond common. It needs to be reverenced every time. It needs to be taken serious every time. So as a church, we'll have communion at least 3 to 4 times a year. We're apt to call for it whenever we feel like that we need to draw closer to the Lord. And as we draw closer to the Lord individually through communion, we can draw closer to each other as a church body. So he says, he gives us that. He opens that up. He gives that to the church as often as you do it. He didn't tell us how often, but he says, as often when you do it, this is the purpose for it. Do it in remembrance of me. "For as often as ye eat the bread and drink the cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. And let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. He says you need to take it seriously. And those that don't take it seriously, there is a warning of a judgment of God upon the life of those that don't take it seriously. I don't want that to take place in my life. I want to take it seriously every time we have communion. And I want to examine myself, and I look in my life and say, God, if there's anything in my life that is displeasing to you, help me to know it. Reveal it to me so that I might confess and forsake it and have our relationship, our fellowship restored. Yeah. So who is worthy? Preacher, are you going to tell us who's worthy and who's not worthy? I'm glad I don't have to do that. That's sad. Some believe that that's their position. They think, well, no, I know this about you. You can't take it. I know that you can't take it. And you let a man examine himself. I present it to you. Once I've presented it to you, my work's done. You are to examine yourself with the knowledge, the instructions from the Word of God that He has for us, and you accept that you've received the instructions, and you look at your own life, and you examine yourself to determine whether or not that you're worthy to take of the Lord's Supper. I can give you some insight. First of all, you need to be saved. How can you remember the Lord if you don't know the Lord? You can't even get baptized. You can't be baptized. It doesn't matter. You can go through the motions of baptism, but it doesn't mean anything unless you're saved. You have to be saved to biblically and be able to identify with the Savior in His death, burial, and resurrection. If you got baptized before you were saved, you got wet. Once you get saved, then you know who Jesus is, and you understand that I can spiritually identify with Him through baptism, through the death and the burial and the resurrection, and it is very meaningful to me, and it's me telling the world I'm not ashamed to be associated with Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed to be called a Christian, and I want to identify with Him, and praise God for that. So in order for you to truly remember and really let it sink in what He did for us, you have to know Him. Are you saved tonight? If you're not saved, you shouldn't be taking communion. Right. Parents, you determine whether or not your child is saved. They're still under your authority, and you determine that. That's something that you will give an account for. It's not a fun time. It's not a game time. It's not for them just to do what everybody else is doing. They must understand it. You determine that. Then if you're saved, are you in fellowship with God? Are you living in rebellion? Is there something that you know God wants you to do and you said no? How in the world can you take communion and remember the sacrifice He made for you and sit back and tell Him no? I think that's unworthy. 1 John chapter 1, we're done. 1 John chapter 1. Are you in fellowship with Him tonight? First of all, are you saved? Then are you in fellowship? 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood that you're getting ready to remember that was sacrificed and shed for you, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. It's a very special time when you understand it, why it was given, what it represents. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to ask the deacons to go ahead and bring the communion in. At this time, there's an invitation time. An invitation time is an opportunity to respond to whatever God has spoken to you about. If there's a need for you to come to prepare yourself for communion, I would encourage you to get out of your pew right now, come to this altar. Do whatever necessary. Do whatever you need to do to be ready to experience what God wants us to experience in remembering Him in communion.